Marcus Sahaba, the voice of Ahl Sunnah wal Jamaah.
Chilkan 804 Central African Time, at the time of the morning, where we join our very own our Ahmed Parak, Councillor Ahmed Parak. And Alhamdulillah, I can tell you, Ahmed Parak is going to have a bonus time with us also this evening, this morning. Reason being that Ahmed Mansoor Sheikh Imam is on a flight. And Ahmed, mashallah, he has so much of information, and he will already conscientize the Ummah with all that they want to know. Ahmed, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. And tell me how you're doing this fine, beautiful Sunday morning.
Shafad, wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Alan asalam to all our radio listeners. Alhamdulillah, beautiful, shining Sunday morning, Shafad.
Yeah, I can tell you, you are someone that's on the move all the time. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given you the energy, and you simply love to serve people. You are a humanitarian through and through. And tell me, what's the latest on the kafan dafan side of things, Ahmed?
Shafad, alhamdulillah, dafan kafan is very, 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 very quiet. I was reading the paper this morning, and they're still doing the fraudulent transaction. And this is all non-Muslim undertakers being fraudulent. Undertakers are doing fraud. And there's two people have been caught. One doctor has been also arrested. So we will know in the next week or so what is happening. But, you know, what they do is they take a pauper's body and they insure that person, and then going to generate a death certificate with the Home Affairs, that is through the contacts. And then they got caught. But there's very, very stringent sentence especially this type of fraud. So the courts are not going to take it very, very lightly. I've seen in the last 10 years or so, they're getting anything like from 15 to 25 years sentence for fraud like this here, Shafad.
Now, something that we noticed, that a lot of Indians have come to the fore when it comes to fraud. Why is this so, Ahmed? I mean, you know exactly what I'm referring to.
Shafad, you know what happened is, you see, the Indians actually find a loophole in the system. And when you find the loophole in the system, and that's how they penetrate into the system, and that's how fraud is committed. And then it takes the companies to catch them or investigate. It takes them a long time to close that loophole. Like how you have in our constitution, the gray area in our constitution in terms of Home Affairs. There's a lot of gray areas there. Therefore, you cannot even deport the foreign nationals from this country. It's like that. Because if you find a loophole, they penetrate into the loophole, they go and commit the fraud. By the time they come and catch them and arrest them and all, it is about another 5 to 8 years is gone, you see. And by the time they close that gap, they'll find something else. This is how it happens, Shafad.
Yeah, and you look at the statistics, the owners of this funeral parlors, who are mostly the owners? Because they're making, fantabulous money out of this, Ahmed.
There's two type of people in the funeral industry, undertaker movement, the black community and the Indian community. That is, now I'm not, the Indian community is not Muslim, because we don't run it as a business. They are the only one. They do this type of business. And Shafad, this is a multi-billion rand business. It is so big. This industry is unbelievable. The insurance companies, they pay out billions a year in claims for you got debt insurance, then you got funeral cover, then you got all the other perk goes with it and all that. So they pay in the billions, actually. So that is the reason why you have seen they have come out with a smart card. Who has come out with a smart card? Because the Home Affairs did not have money for the smart card. All the insurance industry, they put the money together, and then they came up with the smart card. And with the smart card, they can pick you up anywhere in the world. With all your information, they will be able to pick you up, which radio station you are with, what type of work you do, how many children you got, where you live, every single thing you want to know. You go to America or you go to Europe, before you do anything, they already know more about you than you know yourself.
Yeah, they think they're smart, but you don't know. Allah is watching. Wallahu alimun hakimun. Yes, Ahmad, as you talk about, I mean, the irony of this situation of the death, you know, amongst our non-Muslim brothers and sisters, that when they pass on, they all, I mean, 99.9% of them have a funeral policy. And in their lifetime, they may be traveling with taxis, they never owned a car. But when they leaving the dunya, they are being driven in a limousine, Ahmad.
Shafat, I tell anybody in my family, the community at large, get a medical aid hospital cover. Don't worry about the day-to-day doctor. You'll be able to afford it, 200 rand, 150 rand, or you just buy the medication and carry on. But today, if you get hospitalized and if you don't have a medical aid, Shafat, you're in big trouble. Because government hospitals, if you go to RK Khan, Prince Misheni, Albert Luthuli, Albert Luthuli is slightly better than the others, King George, you go there, Shafat, there's no medication, there's nothing. And I'm telling you, I go through these things all the time. So if you don't have a medical aid, and you know, you get the, just get hospital cover. This is what you need. And in the on the for the non-Muslim, they will make sure they don't worry about medical aid, but they must have a funeral cover. They will make sure every week from their salary that money is paid for the funeral, because that funeral for them, it's a very, very big thing. You know, they don't mourn like us 3 days. They mourn for a couple of months sometimes, and they must cut the cow. They have to have it such a way, and that's how they do it. And furthermore, Among the Zulus and the Khoisans and the black community, you cannot cremate them, because once you talk about Shisa, oh, they'll kill you and they'll burn your whole house down. That's how bad it is. And furthermore, once they are buried, you cannot bury somebody else like how we do it every 5 to 7 years, we recycle. You cannot do that. Once you put that person, his mother or his father or his sister or whoever, in that grave block number 14, grave number 29, you put him there. It is like for perpetual. You can't put anybody else there. And you go anywhere near that and start digging. Hey, you got, that's a problem. They'll come and kill you or shoot you. That's how you'll have to open another grave. That's how bad it is. So this is how, that is the reason why the city and municipality, we have a problem. Because we don't have any more graves left, because of they don't want you to open the grave again. You cannot recycle. That is the biggest problem we are faced with. We can recycle, but they cannot recycle. That is the problem.
Then the question is asked, where is the biggest black cemetery in the country, Ahmad?
Shafat, in Durban, we got quite a few big cemetery. We got in Ilovo, we got in the South Coast, we got in the North Coast, we got some big cemeteries, Durban and surrounding. We got, if you take Red Hill, you take Stellawood, there's quite a few that are can hold. But the city is always looking for cemeteries all the time. But the problem to open a cemetery can take you anything from 2 to 5 years to get it zoned. That is a very, very stringent way that the government looks at it. You know, you have to have your soil test. You have to have enough soil salt in the soil for decomposition. So the area got to be right. The sand level got to be right. Then you got to do your geotech has to be. You know, there's a whole series of things. I've been through this not once, maybe about 130, 40 times with all these applications, and I'm telling you how many applications was rejected outright. So this is a stringent way they to open a cemetery. That is the problem that we in the city, for the last 10 years, we're looking, we cannot find a suitable place in the city to open a cemetery. And the time is running out for them, because there is no cemetery site. That is the reason. If you go to in Joburg, they call a cemetery, they call Durbanville. That's a private cemetery. Then you go to Hillcrest, they call it Lala Gasle. Lala Gasle in Zulu means sleep well. And that private cemetery, now you get among the black communities, some Ladida, top business people and all that. They pay anything from 25,000 to 50,000 rand for one grave.
Well, our mother already giving us a powerful information this morning. You're tickling some brains here. And I'm looking at Dawood's message. He says, Assalamu alaikum, Ahmad Barak. If you listen to Marcus Sahaba, Mufti A.K. Hussein, Ahmad Barakatum talks about the Jutlas. I want to know how many Jewish graves there are in this country, and are they well protected, or do they allow public to visit their graveyards and to see how they bury? That's a good question from Dawood, Ahmad.
Shafak, there is quite a few, and you know, the Jutlas too are just like us. They make sure their cemetery is barricaded, number one. Number two, they will always bury on a Saturday. Number three, their cemetery is also very, very closely monitored. You will find in their cemetery, they will send somebody on a week-to-week basis, go and see there's nothing is happening in their cemeteries, and always they keep it very clean, like how we keep it. So, as far as that is concerned, there is quite a few of their own cemeteries in Durban and surrounding, and they won't use any undertaker if it's not one of their undertakers who they have earmarked in their constitution. That is the only undertaker will do their funeral and nobody else. That's how they worship us.
Absolutely brilliant. And, you know, great information coming out from our very own councillor, Ahmad Parak. So, Ahmad Parak, we get into our Itikweni or municipality news and politicking here, there and everywhere. Let's talk about Action SA, you know, talking about Moon Pact and so forth. It seems like Herman Mashaba is calling the shots. Talk to us, Ahmad.
Shafak, yes, we started this 2 months ago. Herman Mashaba's idea was to making sure that if he can bring all the political parties together, excluding EFF and the ANC, to bring it under the roof of their calling it under the moonshot. So they debated this thing for the last 2 days, Wednesday and Thursday, Tuesday and Wednesday, they debated it intensively. They have more or less, what they have done is they have signed an MOU, a memorandum of understanding, how if and how we Action SA with all the other parties win the take the ANC and the EFF, keeping them under 50%, how we should be doing a coalition government. So we said before we get to the election and after that we're fighting who's going to take what and what is going to happen. So yeah, we more or less got an understanding how the coalition will work, who will get the highest amount of votes, what positions they will get. All that has been more or less ironed out now. So it makes it easier in terms of the agreement. But one thing you must understand, that one party you cannot trust. Although DA is in the moonshot with us, but you cannot trust them. They will sign the MOU. They will do everything underneath the sun. When the time comes, they will walk out from that coalition. If they don't get what they want, that is the problem. And we have seen it recently from the 21 election in most of the municipalities. If they don't get it their way, they just walk out of that coalition and they want to be there on their own. That is a massive problem we have, especially with the DA. Now, we want to see what happens after the election. All of us are going full out. We're working the ground. We're working. And we're making sure that we will make sure if we can keep the DA and the ANC and the EFF under the 50% threshold. And then I think we will be very successful and we will do a turnaround in the country and get this country back. You know, what our slogan is, let's fix South Africa and we'll be able to fix South Africa, Shafak.
Brilliant indeed. And brother says, yes, assalamu alaikum. I know Ahmad Parak personally, Blue Chef. He's a people's man. Let's hear Ahmad's view on the Cape Town taxi strike down. Santaco to approach courts over latest wave of impoundments. And it seems as if the Cape authorities got the right beat with the taxis. Don't give them the beat. Make sure that they know who they're dealing with. And is it true, Ahmad, that Cape Town wants to become a entity on its own? They want to have cessation and do their own things. I think even KZN should be like that. Ahmad, how you respond to that, brother?
First and foremost, there was an agreement that was signed with Santasco and the government regarding the taxi association and when they went back to work. So that taxi strike lasted about 10 days. Millions of rand was lost because the workers couldn't go to work, you know, in Cape Town and everywhere in the country, no work, no pay. So that is one big factor, and it also dented the tourism industry in Cape Town as well. The issue was they went to court and they wanted to see why were the taxis still being impounded. Now, in terms of that agreement, that's why the case was dismissed in the High Court in Cape Town, because the agreement was very, very clear. Although they have signed the agreement, if a taxi is not roadworthy, is not licensed, it will be still impounded. So that's it. So in other words, he told them in the agreement, fix your house, put your house in order. You cannot kill people on the road and then get away because your vehicle is not registered, it's not roadworthy. That's why. That was the whole judgment said, Shabbat.
Yeah, absolutely. And then we find out that the ANC Youth League, they're not happy with Praveen Gordhan. And the ANC Youth League says, we will never apologize to Public Enterprise Minister Gordhan. No matter, we will not, because they say he is one of them that he is captured. And he is playing the game of the conglomerates. What's your views on Praveen Gordhan, Ahmad?
Shafat, the whole country can jump from today till the cows come home. Praveen Gordhan is protected by Ramaphosa. They can do whatever they want. That's number one. That is without saying. The thing is this, because of the Youth League Malema are very, very close. So because what Malema don't want is Praveen Gordhan, he's supposed to be out many years ago. He wanted out of government. He's trying very, very hard. So that's where this whole drama started. So that's where the problem is at the moment. But within the EFF and the ANC, there's also a massive, massive problem at the moment. So I think if this marriage, I don't think it will last before the election. That I can tell you because I've seen it on our Tuesday night's meeting. The meeting started at 10 o'clock at ICC, and we were there till 1 o'clock in the morning. And some of the issues that we brought, you know, insourcing security, we put a motion, we want that, and they supported us. We were like shocked all of a sudden, what happened here? They supported us on that. The ANC also supported us. The only one, DA never supported us. That's the thing now. You see this, again, DA is involved. They only want to do what they want to do. That's the problem.
Look at the message here, and it says, Assalamu alaikum, Ahmad. It is from Nadim. Yes, Nadim says, Ahmad, do you remember Babita Diokaran was killed on 23rd August 2021? And then it was also our dear Yusuf Ahmad Didat that was also murdered and killed. Both these cases haven't been resolved. I wonder why. And also, remember Ahmad Diokaran's daughter was in grade 10 when her mother was murdered right in front of her, and she started writing her preliminary metric examinations. Why are these high-profile cases not solved? Please, Ahmad, try and do something even for Yusuf Ahmad Didat. How you respond to Nabil there?
Shafat, matters like that, I remember both of them very, very clearly. Matters like that, what they have to do, the family and the people on the ground who are very close to the family as well, they must write to the NPA. And if you don't get response from there, then you got the next thing is to write to the Justice Minister. And if they need anybody, like Nadim needs assistance, if I can get some case numbers, I can follow it up and I can do some research there, and I can get my PA to follow up and take it right up to minister's level, and we want answers. What we can do, this is the opportunity for us before election to ask for these answers, and we can get this because this they can't take our files and put it file 13 from 20 to when I don't know how many 4 or 5 years now, this matter should have been resolved. We will insist they must form a task team and the full investigation. And it is in the public domain. So the public are interested in this matter and it has to be resolved. And we can help here to make sure that we get answers from them. Where it is, why it's not been done, if there's any matters outstanding, if there's suspects has not been caught, we need to know all that. They need to bring it to our attention. And if this doesn't happen, then we will send it to Parliament and do a motion there and find out from government there with a proper motion in Parliament. We want all these answers. That answers has to come either from here, we can do it from the province, and we must do it in Parliament as well. These are the things we need to know.
Yeah, message says from Habib in Tumbela. It says, Assalamu alaikum. Thank you very much to Marcus Sahaba for giving me decoder. I'm listening loud with lots of my friends. Ahmad Parak, please know that we have a lot of problems in our township areas. Mlazi, there is mass killings. Also in areas like Umbumbulu, Impandimweni, and Pitela areas. These are everyday people getting murdered, killed. Young men with guns going wild. But in most cases, I must tell you, these are foreigners that are coming in our places, robbing our own people, robbing them of their cars, hijacking a lot of things, and also taking cell phones from all our ladies in the townships. These are scoundrels from across the borders. Please, Ahmed, try and tell ANC and even Malema, close the borders. How do you respond to our brother Tombela there?
Tombela Malani, he hit it right on the head. Number one, he also answered the question partly. Number one is, firstly, the stats of all the murders in the country were released sometime last week. We have got the stats already. We are the second highest in the country in terms of murders in the country. Yes, the minister and the head, the Justice Department, all intervene in this matter. Yeah, ANC is taking it very, very strongly, but nothing is happening. So the thing is this, we are requesting from the city as well as from the province, we will need to see the stats, if the stats are 100% right, and why these matters are not resolved. Secondly, because of our, what Malanzi said, because of our borders are open, and you know, anybody can walk in, walk out without any paperwork, and they come and do the damage here, they come and shoot here, they are robbing our locals here, and then once they do the job, they go back. Conveniently, they go back. So how are you going to close that case? That is our biggest problem that we are faced with. And Action SA, we think, regularize this problem first with the Home Affairs. Now, Home Affairs, you saw in the last 1 month, they sent 19 Pakistanis back because those documents, they came at OR Kambo. It was fraudulent. From the airport, they were gone back. So I think they are starting to clamp down on the foreign nationals as well.
Abed, I want to know why murderers are given a parole. Look at this guy that murdered the former First Lady, Marika de Klerk, has been guaranteed a parole. I want to know, are they selective in who they give parole? Yanis Valus and all these guys, they kept them in right to the last minute. Are they looking at color when they're giving parole? Please, Ahmed, advise us. Ahmed, they're asking you the heavy questions this morning.
Hey, Shafat. As far as that is concerned, you know, the Justice Department, the Correctional Services, they got their own constitution in terms of when a person is detained. And after that, if you were serving 7 years, 7 years, you know, within 2.5-3 years, you will get parole. That is the rule that is being. Or you go on to the sickly ward. They have got, you know, the hospital ward in the cells there. Depending they assess it, the doctors assess it, and that's how parole is being taken. You saw in Zuma's case, within 3 months or so, he got parole and he was out. So he served and he had a condition that he will be under house arrest. Now, they went right up to Constitutional Court, and the Constitutional Court gave the ruling on that. It says it must go back to the correctional services, because they are the custodians, and what happened, they have to sort it out. And the correctional services made the decision was 100%, right? He was released. Once you are released from parole, you can't go back. There's no way you can go back. So that decision for Zuma was right, so he couldn't go back. Now, the people that do get parole, like the 15 years, you come out within 5 years, between 5 to 7 years, you can get parole and you can come out of prison. And that is the normal standing. And then the president give you pardon on every year for 1 year. So all that is taken into account, and that's how you get your parole. That the system is the way that system is made, and how to release detainees in prisoners from the cells.
Yeah, Mother, some interesting stories. I want you to listen to this and give your comment. It says here, top South African businessman in $10 million Zambia airport robbery. It goes on to say a South African businessman has been caught up in an international mystery involving millions of dollars of fake gold bars and impounded private plane and citizens of several countries in Africa and Europe. The man and 10 people, including an Egyptian businessman, were in a private plane at the Kenneth Kaunda International Airport in Zambia, where they were waiting to take off, and this happened. Ahmed, things are happening. There's a lot of gold and wheeling and dealing and flying here, there, and everywhere. Talk to me about this culture of people, this, you know, getting away with impunity. But the chores or the robbers knew where to go and when to hit. Maybe this was an inside information, Ahmed.
Shafal, I read through that article. I think it was on Friday, the whole article I read, and in fact, it was in the paper yesterday. You know, now to beat the system again, Shafal, what they're doing is they're chartering his private jets and all that. That there is that the mastermind behind it, from my understanding, from what I'm reading, is the guy from South Africa, and he's the mastermind behind the whole thing, and he has orchestrated how the system going to work and how it's going to be with the fake gold bars and the dollars from, you know, he's maybe doing it for a very long time, because he's doing it from country to country, and I think Zambia was a springboard for them, and unfortunately they got caught here. So this is the problem, and there's 10 of them are detained there in Zambia. And then we'll see what happens after this, because this thing is happening a lot from South Africa. You know, you get all these foreigners that are working in the country. They're taking the money out. You want to know how they're taking the money out. They got the hawala system. They got through various countries. They're taking the thing through hawala. And this is not small money. Millions of rand is leaving our shores on a daily basis. How come at the airport they're not detaining them? They know today you got scanners in the bag. You put your bag through the scanner. You'll see every one paper slip is in your bag. They can pick it up. Why is this not being picked up? And this is the problem. And if you know, I said last week, the spaza business in the country is worth 178 billion. The full 178 billion is going out of the country. Now, it's a lot of money that's leaving the country, and that's why we say to, instead of keeping the money in the country, that our people, if the money is circulated among our people, yet the money is leaving our country. And this is the problem that we are faced with.
Yes, sir, people, you tuned in with the Straight Talk with Ahmed Parak, and alhamdulillah, really, he's doing brilliant as usual. Ahmed, you know, talking about Durban Harbour and the unions threatened legal action of a Durban port privatization, and, you know, people buying different parts of the harbour off, like the Filipinos, the Malaysians, and you get this country, that country. Each part of the harbour will be owned by certain conglomerates. What's your thoughts on that? And the unions are dead set against that, and they're threatening Pravin Gordhan once again. Talk to us, Ahmed.
Shafat, at the moment, if you've seen, all right, from my balcony, I can see there's a lot of ships that want to go into the harbor. They cannot go into the harbor because they have to dredge, because there's water level where they're going into the harbor. They can't move with those big super tankers and all that. They've been working day and night to dig it deeper so that they will be able to move the ships into the harbor. That is one the biggest problem at the moment. And is your delay is now about 10, 12 days because some of the ships cannot come into our harbor to offload. That's one. The second important factor is, you know, if you take China, Shafat, if you take China, they give you money carte blanche. South Africa wants money. Now BRICS summit is coming this week, this coming week. They will make decision how much South Africa need, how much they need in Africa. Now they're attacking the Chinese are assisting in Zimbabwe big time because for the cotton and there's some the diamonds. They're investing big money. They said, don't worry to the Zimbabwean. We will fix your country up. We will help you. We'll make it a number one country. And they're telling us, don't depend on South Africa. You need to be self-dependent. Now, what they came for, Shafat, they came for the diamonds there. Right? That's here in South Africa, what they have put into our government coffers, because we were in Sakrat, they were putting money into it. Now, two things they take over, Shafat. One, they take your airport over, and they take your harbor over. If they control these two, then they control the whole country. So this is where the problem at the moment is. That's why the unions are jumping. They don't want this thing to be privatized. And we are also saying, don't privatize. Why should we privatize everything to the foreign nationals? This is our problem. And this is what we said in our Tuesday's meeting. Security, why should we privatize? Employ the right security people in our own city. Don't privatize for vehicles, for all the vehicles we need. Buy our own, which we had previously. Get our own and use it. Water tankers, this is what we did. We bought 45 new water tankers. We didn't hire them. We bought them, put it into our system so we can help the community. By privatizing, the same way you outsourcing it, I give you Ahmed Shafat Khan, PDY Limited, do plumbing. You come and fix 31 Inner Circuit Road. You fix the pipes. You're gone. 1 week later, Shafat Ahmed Khan, PDY Limited, is coming to fix another pipe. But what you did, you fixed this, and you open one small leak and left it there. By the time you know in 10 days, that leak is going to explode again. So you want to come and fix that leak there. This is how you do it. So that way, it's a money-making scheme. So what we said, even the plumbing, no more outsourcing. Bring it into the city. We employ our own plumbers. Then we can control them. We can monitor them. We want to know why that plumbing you went and did, give us photos. Now we got a system. You take photos first. Before you even do anything, take photo. We know that the leak was here, not 1 meter down the road. In 10 days' time, you have to go and fix it again. So this is we tightening the mess up here, tighten that up here. This is what's happening at the moment. So privatizing anything is not going to work because what's going to happen, they'll bring all foreign nationals. Eventually, the foreign nationals will own this whole country. That's what's going to happen, Shafat.
Good point there, indeed. Looking at a message from brother here, he says, for obvious reason, brother Shafat, I am anonymous. It says, Ahmed, it has been alleged that a domestic dispute could have led to the fatal shooting of a man and a woman at Blue Lagoon. This happened this week. And he says it was alleged that a female employee at a business premises was fatally shot by her companion who didn't turn the gun on himself. This incident is making everyone think and everyone making a lot of gibbet and panchas about that. But my main point, Ahmed, is Durban is becoming like a war zone. There's shooting nearly every month and a lot of people are being left for dead. But most of the cases are not reported. Ahmed, what is Durban coming to? Are these shootings because of criminality or is it turf war? Very good question there, Ahmed.
Shafat, first and foremost, the shooting is not only in Durban. You know, they mustn't think Durban only everything, Durban. KZN, yes, we said we got the second highest murder in the country. Yes, we agree 100%. You cannot deny that. Number two is, these things are happening on a day-to-day basis. You're getting you know, if the stats will tell you how many murders a day is taking place. We're just getting just under 100 murders a day is taking place in the country. Now, this is a big number, and Action SA, we have brought this thing up to, we even march up to the parliament regarding this issue here, and then we gave a memorandum to the Minister of Police on this issue here. The problem is when you get these murders, obviously murder is murder. Police will come there. The docket is always open, and if you cannot shy away from not reporting a murder, because then you become accomplice to that transaction as well. So that is the main point. But there is a problem. Yes, we understand. Not only, and the massive problem that we are faced with is the turf war from Cape Town and from elsewhere. The people are coming, the drug war. And this is where the problem is. And if you go to Overport and you go to Phoenix, Chatsworth, go to some of the other areas, and now it's already filtering into the location too. You know, I didn't know that the black community was into drugs, but today, the black community in Amlazi, Mashu, and all these black areas, they're into drugs. I couldn't believe that. So the stats, what we are seeing, is already filtering into the black community as well. It is a turf war, because they, in the, especially in the drug field, there's big money. You know, when we talk money, this is massive money. You know, this is gold money. It's like a minting machine you have at home. That when a dealer is the head of that group and his team, he has to have bodyguard at his house all over, and this is what happens, Shafat.
Yeah, brilliant point there indeed. Looking at this message, it says, Assalamu alaikum. Brilliant chat indeed, Brother Shafat. And once again, you got a lot of anonymous souls talking to you this morning. I too would like to remain anonymous. Have you noticed that within the past few years that the Nigerians have moved out of Durban Point area and gone into the suburbs? They now are moving into more plush areas. And sad to say, Ahmed Farouk, it is our own Muslim landlords that are giving these guys, tenants, place to live in their yards and in their flats. Why is this so, knowing that these Nigerians are bad news? How do you respond to Anonymous there, Ahmed?
Shabbat, number the very first thing with the Nigerian, he dressed, he puts a five-piece suit on a day-to-day basis. You know, he dressed immaculately, number one. Number two, when it comes now, Point area was overrated, and the turf was beyond control for them. So they're now moving into elite areas. They're going into the Amslanga, the Musgraves, and La Lucia, and all those areas there. And they don't try to pay the rental, because if the rental was, say, 15,000 a month, and if a Niger came there well dressed and all, you thought this fella is in a top businessman or whatever it is, you told him, you know what, our 35,000 rand for this whole house is a three-bedroom house with a car park, garden, every pool and everything. He says, no problem, sign the lease. He'll sign the lease for 3 years, and he'll pay you, in fact, he'll pay you 1 month damage deposit and 2 months, put 2 months rent up front. There's like 100 grand, he'll deposit into your account, because now it is easier for him to work from a suburb where it will be less people on his back, and also he'll be able to do more business from a suburb than where he was in Point Road, Chapan.
Jazakallah for that, Brother Ibrahim says, Assalamu alaikum. I remember yesteryear, Ahmed Farouk, in Durban, you didn't even need a car to go in Durban. You had lovely minor buses, and you had a lovely infrastructure where you could go from Durban from point A to B at a pittance. Today, everything is gone haywire. We can't even travel safely. When you walk in Durban, we are robbed and so forth. But what is sad is that the transport system is being hijacked, and something needs to be done, like what they're doing in Cape Town. Bring the taxi to account. Ahmed, how do you respond to Ibrahim there?
Shafat, we have already put into system in Tiguni Municipality, Go Durban. That Go Durban thoroughfare is already been in an advanced state from the Durban to Pine Town, and all that, the new buses been ordered. So all that is going to come into place. But yes, you must, Ibrahim must understand that what happens is all the people that used to live in the rural area, Shafat, they're all in Durban now. They're coming into the cities now. That's where our infrastructure is falling. Previously, you had people in the city, and then you had people in the rural area. Now the rural area people are in Durban, and they only go to Easter, they go home, they go back in December, they will go away, and they'll come back after the first week of January, they come back to the city. Because most of the people are working in the city, and all the flats, you'll see, because those flats all gone gray now. You know, they have given that thing. Some of the flats are not even maintained by the landlords and all that, because the people from the rural area here in Durban now, and that's where our problem is, because now the infrastructure cannot take what it's supposed to. They put in one fell flat, they might put 6, 7, 8 people into in one flat, you know, a two-bedroom flat. So that is a massive problem that we are faced with. That is also impacting on our water system, our electricity system, and our sewage system as well. So that is a massive, massive problem. And the government in the last 15 years have not foresaw that this is going to happen, and they have not put a plan in place. And that's where we're coming short now. There is no plan. We're getting the money. You know, we got like 65 billion from the 1st of July for the city to run the city. But there's no plan. You know, we took them to court to fix their sewage. They say, okay, fine, we're going to withdraw your case. We're putting it together. We say, okay, fine, we're prepared to withdraw it today. But give us a plan. How are you going to do it? When it will be done? And what is the cost factor? They couldn't give us it. That's why we're still in court. We filed all our papers. I think it's going to be set down very soon, sometime before the end of the year, hoping. And we want to take them to part. We want a judgment on this. And then we want to hold the city accountable. They must fix the sewage system up.
Looking at this message, it says, Assalamu alaikum, Shafat Ahmad Khan, Marcus Sahaba. Thank you very much for bringing this great program every Sunday morning. We all listen. I'm a Musalli at the bus grave, Musalla there, and Ahmad Parak. I can tell you, Brother Shafat is popular because of his humility and the work he does. Allah keep him, Allah bless him. But I want to remind Ahmad that the police task team are clamping down on cross-border vehicle smugglers in northern KwaZulu-Natal and have arrested 3 more suspects who are suspected of being part of a notorious syndicate that smuggles stolen vehicles into Mozambique. The question here I pose, Ahmad Parak, is who are these people in Mozambique that are buying all these stolen vehicles? I'm sure you have some inside info. Please share. Hey, your fellow Musalli is asking you a very probing question there, Ahmad. Like you, the CID of South Africa.
Shabbat, one, alhamdulillah for the good words that Musalli is giving me. All right, I play a very active role in the Musgrave Masjid, alhamdulillah, with the help of Allah. You know, wherever being work, you know, when I was in Spingo Beach, you know, I did the work in Spingo Beach too. Anywhere, wherever being work is taking place, I will go and put my hand there, and I'll make sure I get things done for them. What happened here in the syndicate, you know, the main syndicate we have now arrested. The thing is, there is bias on the other side in Mozambique. They give the order. You give like a grocery list. We want Mercedes-Benz. We want Toyotas. We want X5, X3s. We want Toyota Land Cruiser. All these orders are being given, and this is how the vehicles are moving from here to Mozambique. And then there is a South African, from our information, in Mozambique, who is based there, and he's the one put his team together, and there's a team here that is doing the work. So now we broke their back, and now we're going back all those vehicles that was stolen. They're sending a team from here. In fact, there's a team already there, from my understanding, and they're going to see how many of all those vehicles that we still can't find. It must be somewhere there, and we'll be able to pick it up very, very quickly.
Yes, Ahmad, here's another question for you. It says, Assalamu alaikum, Brother Shafat. I'm a paramedic, and I want to know from Ahmad Parak, What is being done in Durban and surrounding areas to protect the paramedics who are soft targets for criminality? These guys, they don't leave anything. They attack and rob anyone, anytime. Ahmed, how you respond to a desperate paramedic there?
Shafat, this matter was already, it was in our system in the council, and it has been brought to the attention of the head, the director of Metro Police, regarding some support and protection for all our paramedics, as well as national government is aware of this, and the Minister of Police, they are working together. You know, there's a whole task team that is working together to make sure that all our paramedics are being taken care of and they are being protected. Because without the paramedic, we won't be able to get the patient to the hospital as quick as possible. And this is, you know, they're stopping us, and then they, at gunpoint, they take the ambulance away. So, and to put an ambulance today costs you anything from $200,000 to $300,000 to put it out, just leaving out the actually the shell, the body, the vehicle. So you, to get a good vehicle, you're looking at anything from $600,000 to $700,000, a new one, Chapat.
Yeah, I noticed that our juice a day will be 64 minutes long. So we have about 4 more minutes for Ahmed. Yeah, Ahmed, I'm looking at an article here which says Durban brothers Dylan and Ned Govender were sentenced to an effective 7 years behind bars for the involvement in the July 2021 unrest. A lot of people saying this was a selective sentence. What's your views on that, Ahmed?
Shafaz, there were in total about 20, if I remember, about 24, 25 arrest in that Phoenix looting time that they were killed. There was quite a few Muslim brothers still on bail. That their matter has not come before for court yet. Yes, you know, the outcry from especially the EFF and the government at the moment, from the ANC and everybody, they want to see some case must be prosecuted. And this is, unfortunately, it was these two brothers fell into that trap, and then they were sentenced, because the pressure was even to the judge, and it comes from the top. So I think the judge made a decision that, in fact, if they take it on appeal, I think there is still a chance if they take it on appeal. But the appeal was denied. But now they have to go to Supreme Court of Appeal to then get them released. And that might take a few months. But I think they still have a chance, because the thing is that I think the judge had erred in his decision by not giving them a suspended sentence in this year, because they did it on self-defense and nothing else. So I think this is going to be a case that is going to be closely monitored. But unfortunately, they don't have money to take it up to Supreme Court of Appeal. You're looking like, you know, anything from a couple million rand to fight this case. So I'm not sure what's going to happen, but they have been sentenced. There's plenty others are going to come in the next couple of weeks, couple of months, and this might be the same thing. There's a lot of Muslim brothers are also involved in it. I know I took out a few Muslim brothers from Westville prison, make sure they went to Verulam court, and then they were reapplied at High Court and they got bail. And that matter is to come. So I'm not sure, they might also go behind bars for 7 years, because I think they want to set a precedent to say that, you know what, justice is being served on them. I think if they didn't do that, and I know there will be a right on this issue, why these guys, because they are Indian, they walk scot-free. This is the problem they face with Shafat.
Good point indeed. And, you know, Becky, at that time I was fanning racial tensions. You know, he was giving a different story to the whole thing, another take indeed. And the EFF also got into it. But, you know, they said there was a lot of criminality. But, Ahmed, you know, you again involved there, and you're looking forward to justice. Perhaps your parting words this morning before we let you go, Ahmed?
Shafat, every day, every minute, today, tomorrow, you'll hear new stories. Every day, we're coming to get new stories. Every day. You know what? We must make shukar, alhamdulillah, Allah. Keep your namaz, read your namaz on time, keep make dua every day that Allah protect us. You know, it's not easy living in South Africa. A lot of people, a lot of our business people are suffering at the moment. Things are really, really, really bad. In fact, the chain stores are not even trading. But we must make sure Allah has given us in this country. We got right of religion, right of culture. We got a lot of things that in the country that we must make sure to compare to any other country and carry on doing the good work here. And in fact, inshallah, by next year, there will be a change. You know, we must all make dua that, you know, we keep this ruling party under the 50% threshold and then vote in this new upcoming election, register and vote for the right parties and for, like Action SA, who will make a difference and get the right people. And I'm also appealing to people, a lot of activists we got in the Muslim community, they must come forward now and join a good party where they will make a difference. And you know what? No use sitting armchair and sitting back and saying, no, Ahmed Parak will do it, Shafar will do it on the radio. It can't be done. We need the people now. We have to. This is a test of all time. We have to get our people and all the masjid, ulums, and all our institutions. We need to get together like how we stood together in the looting time. It's the same thing we've got to do. We all stand together and say, you know what? This country is our country. Our forefathers built schools. We built madrasas. We built masjid. We won't let it go down the tube. And we want to work towards it and get our people involved. And inshallah, I'm telling you, Shafar, there will be a much better South Africa in
coming
in the after the 24
election. Ameen, Ahmed, you have a mashallah blessed day ahead. Talk to you soon. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum salam.
Marcus Sahaba, the voice of Ahl Sunnah wal Jamaah.